understand it, Jane?
Sure. So, Quo, this evening we would like you to speak to us about the transformation of the mind.
We are Quo. And we are again with this group. We are delighted to have the opportunities that this group has generously offered to us to practice our own service as we are but seekers on the same path as you. We have traveled the path a little bit further, but we still seek. So we ask a very large favor to all who choose to listen to us, to remember take the words that make you feel inspired and hopeful, and to forget the words that bring feelings of despair or fear. By allowing us the assurance that you will choose which parts of our message to integrate, part of the path upon which you stand. This allows us greater freedom to speak to the topic you have requested today. You ask us about the transformation of the mind. Previously, you have asked about the purification of the emotions of the mind complex. The discipline required to do so. And we tell you that this discipline is the heart of the transformation. Form is to be born again anew. And thinking of what is gained through each transformation is just one facet as we have spoken before, within the mind, there's much to be released. Through your journey of your incarnation, as the Fool, you begin with a modest set of ideas and gifts and tools. And these accoutrements to your incarnation expand with time and experience. Everything gathered is useful for a time. And as it has been said before, that which is not needed will fall away. Discipline allows one to look at what they are carrying and to more actively self-audit these accoutrements and skills and ideas to their current value in life experience. Well, the process of that which is not needed falling away is an automatic part of the upward spiraling journey. The accelerated path of seeking can be facilitated through the release conscious, inactive release. Been given a deck of cards with images that you are familiar with. But if you were to explore other versions of these images, you would be hard pressed to find a depiction of the transformation of the mind that was not rooted in the concept two lovers, two beings finding harmony. The card you are most familiar with has three figures. As you all know, there are two paths to the gateway of of intelligent infinity. There are two paths to divinity. There are two paths to harmony. And while you may not see the other path as harmonious, there is still a deliberate and consensual exchange and an understanding between the self and the self of the one who has chosen the path of separation. Because both paths require the discipline and the dedication that you experience in your incarnation as the mated relationship, where you must coexist for the majority of your experience, and you must choose how to do that. And in so choosing, you must release the other path. In fact, it's easy to choose both paths. The choice isn't complete until one path has been abandoned to the greatest ability of the seeker. In your mind, you all stand on the threshold of those two paths. Sometimes it's hard to look down each path and notice the subtle differences, as the destination is the same. But we say to you, the discernment of the two paths very well considered. This other aspect of yourself that you seeks from you dependability, predictability. For those of you on the path of service to others, that dependability and predictability will never look the same in action. Because what is asked of you is often a surprise. But the more that you release the thoughts and actions and dispositions of the path of plunder, the more you deepen your relationship with your subconscious mind, the more you are able to effectively pierce the veil in a way that is valuable to your experience. Most do not place the importance on the release, on letting go, on the avoidance of the other path. But we say to you, we believe this is the heart of the concept of your tuning. For if you are bouncing back and forth, you're still unsure of the wavelength, and we know that discerning that wavelength is where much of your daily energies reside. But we tell you, as much as there is the action of active release, there is also the act of surrender. Surrendering to the self. In a way that is built upon trust of self to self. Discipline and dependability of self to self. Always checking in. And making that a daily or even hourly or minute by minute practice. The more you tune the self to listen to the self, the more information is available to you that will permeate the veiling. This communication from self to self is ever so subtle. And to the untuned entity, the communication of self to self still carries weight. But if you don't know which self you are speaking to, if you haven't committed over and over and over to letting go of the path of separation, then comes before the self is far more unreliable, far more random. So I say the heart of tuning is feeling through the heart to the self. And learning which thoughts oppress and which thoughts liberate, which thoughts limit and which thoughts love. And the more you dedicate yourself to releasing the limitations and oppressions, the more this task becomes automatic, the more clear the paths become. So we ask, first and foremost, for you to treat the self with gentleness and patience. And release the burdens of performance or expected manifestations. We ask you to surrender. Surrender to yourself, to first one part of yourself, so that you can explore the entirety of yourself. We are Quo, and we would like to take this opportunity to transfer to the one known as Steve.
I am Kuo, and I am with this instrument. We would say to begin with that among the archetypal configurations of mind, that the transformation is simultaneously the easiest and the hardest for the developing mind-body-spirit complex to negotiate. It is the easiest, in a way, because the elements necessary for the transformation are all already in place by the time this configuration appropriately comes into play. The matrix has been opened to potentiation, and in that regard has been signified. Catalyst has been taken in and processed and stably held in experience. Conclusions have been drawn, resolve has been formed, and the significant self is clearly poised to move forward into a position of allowing itself to undergo that great transformation marked by this archetypal moment. Everything, as we say, is in place, and the polarity has emerged rather clearly in configuration of the archetypal mind as a choice that has been made. And yet, the mind, body, spirit can linger. The mind, body, spirit can linger not because it is unsure of where it wants to go, but because something seems to be holding it back, that it's very hard to identify. What is it? What is it that makes me hesitate? Why can I not simply release myself into this process of transformation that I have been working toward, that meets all the demands that I have made upon myself? What is it that holds me back? What is it that I cannot seem to release of my old ways? What is it that still beckons to me and makes me delay? Is it fear? Is it fear of the unknown? For who, entering into a transformation that will effectively change the entire sense of who they are? Can stride forward with supreme confidence? Who, at the point of transformation, can simply say, let all which is old and outworn and no longer necessary for me to cling to, let that all be laid aside, for it is no longer relevant to who I am? Who can perform this simple motion of letting go without some trepidation that there may, after all, not be anywhere safe to land? That there may, after all, not be any self of myself remaining. That something vital and important and essential may have been given away, thrown to the winds, tossed aside as if it were so much detritus. For the quality of the significant self that is called forth at this moment of transformation, most of all, is the quality of faith. The quality of faith that suggests to the significant self that all is well, that all that I have done in preparation for this moment has been well done and is well conceived. That there will indeed be something on the other side of a transformation that is going to be so profound that I cannot expect to be able fully to recognize who it is that I have become on the other side. These concerns are real, and we can tell you that the transformation in the self will indeed be substantial, but that nothing of lasting importance will have been lost, and that all loss will indeed be seen ultimately as gain. We can tell you this, or another who has passed this way can tell you this, or you who have passed through this phase in another capacity upon an earlier occasion can tell yourself this again. And yet, there is something in the transformation that continues to be difficult. All it requires is release of the old so that the new may come into being. It's all that requires. And yet, it is almost as if that in and of you, which is old, wants somehow to cling stubbornly to you, to remain with you. And what we are saying is that all you need to do is to bless it, blow it a kiss, if you will, and say goodbye. For there is a new horizon opening before you, one that you have worked hard to achieve, and one in relation to which you really do need have no fear. The faith that all will be well will serve you well upon this occasion. And with this thought, we would at this time transfer the contact to the one known as Joseph. I am Kuo.
We are Kuo, and we are with this instrument. We would dwell just a little longer on the sticky nature of what you might call identity. And when we say identity, we mean a self-conception. One of the characteristic features of your third density under the veiling is the opportunity to take on a self-conception, to enter this self-conception. But a self-conception has a context. The world that you place yourself within and the self that you take yourself to be within that world are two intimately linked concepts that cannot be extricated from one another. As you go about your life, gaining catalyst, processing the catalyst, potentiating the matrix, and so on, you take on these narrative structures, these stories that are not only culturally embedded into you, and so often you might not realize you're taking up a story at all, but then also the stories that you develop for yourself as a way of finding a niche, a place for you to insert yourself, and then thereby take on a self-conception. The transformation of the mind in particular is an augmentation of this very fabric. It's a rupture, at least when successful, of that story. And in the process of taking on a self-conception and acting it out and moving about your life under this self-conception, acting out the character you take yourself to be, at some point it becomes apparent that there is a cleavage between the character that you've carved out for yourself and something deeper that means to find some expression. The deeper self that is like a tree growing next to the concrete walkway. And as the roots grow, the concrete walkway becomes fractured as the roots grow up out of it. No matter how hard that structure it had difficulty containing and couldn't contain the organic movement of this natural entity beneath the structure. So it cracks. The moment when transformation becomes available is this moment of cracking, when the self-conception and the deeper nature that had until this point been comfortable with the self-conception, that perhaps found itself satisfied with the self-conception, is no longer comfortable. And the two pull in different directions. This is the context in which transformation of the mind in particular takes shape. And while we have spoken already of the choice to abandon the self-conception and pursue the mysterious deeper nature, trusting that one does not lose oneself entirely, and walking in that direction, finally letting go of this cracked construct, we would also speak to the opposite choice, a choice that each of you here would like to think you do not make from time to time. Transformation can not only be delayed or even avoided, it can also be botched. Well, we should qualify this comment, which is not to say that there is a mistake to be made so much as the intention to walk a path purely and to consistently choose with each transformation according to the path of one's commitment is more difficult than it might seem. A transformation sometimes in the other direction, the direction of preferring the enforced self-conception at the cost of connection to the deeper self, can be illuminating even on the service to others' path. We do not recommend you attempt intentionally to do such a thing, but sometimes the fear of the unknown is too great, and the self-conception too familiar to abandon at this moment. In these kinds of scenarios, a retreading of old karmic patterns is often at play. it may seem like a step backwards on the evolutionary path, when perhaps your spiritual world contracts and the fears and concerns of the day take over, and the disquieted voice that resists is shoved down, and a demand issued that this voice should go along and just accept the way things are. The demand for acceptance in such a scenario is opposite from the usual on the service to others path, since transforming in the positive direction requires accepting the deeper self as it is, rather than demanding the deeper self accept what you have required it to be. Should you find yourself in retrospect to have made such a choice, remember that the commitment to a service to others path will bring around a new opportunity, but perhaps not until you have endured the difficulties of the choice thus made. Part of the appeal of the self-chosen self-conception impressed upon the unconscious resources is its conscious predictability. It's not merely familiarity, but the anticipation that what one becomes is what one meant to be. It can be a kind of armor against the difficulties of the world, against the feeling of potentially being judged by others for perhaps the strange and even unseemly elements of self that might emerge were you to release the self-conception and follow along with the deeper self in its preferred expression. Yet, by far, the more common scenario is to delay and to refuse to choose, to try to have it both ways. No one wants to feel that they have crushed their own dreams, that they have put out the light in their own eyes. And also, no one wants to face the potential indignities of being an oddball in a world that expects a kind of uniformity, a culturally culturally supported form of expression. We would now at this time transfer the contact to the instrument known as Jeremy. We are Kuo.
We are Quo. We are with this instrument at this time. And would like to continue speaking on this aspect of the conception of self caught in the process of the transformation. It is a moment for releasing, as we have said. Yet, it holds the promise of a form of creating as well, of new vistas of self that only open once the head has turned a full 45 degrees in one direction. One catches the glimpse of each path out of the corner of one's eye when one's arms are crossed and is being rocked to and fro. This is fully a liminal state that cannot go on indefinitely. But if you ignore the creativity involved in the dedication to one path over the other, if all that is conceived of is letting go of a possibility, then you have not appreciated this archetype as a genuine thing in and of itself. And it would not make sense in the larger cycle to be merely a sacrifice. This is a fundamental mechanism of the mind complex, which we would like to elaborate upon. For it goes to the heart of using thought, using the mentation that self-conscious affords the third density entity to cross fields in a straight line as the crow flies, instead of being blown about by the winds of chance. Of course, the randomness is part of the design of this illusion. But in the transformation of the mind, you see the nature of what it means to bring the mind to a focus that works outside of past conceptions, that, as the instrument known as Joseph allowed us to explain, provides cracks, a discontinuity in the otherwise smooth and well assembled complex self. It is no small feat to even catch a hint of this power on the other side of the transformation, to appreciate it in the midst of this rocking to and fro, as two conceptions of the beckoning mind call upon the self to be courted. Exert the force that we correct this instrument. Exert the force in such a way as to show the true depths of mind and the limited agency of the conscious mind. It is not wrong to shed a tear at giving up one path. Indeed, it is important to recognize the appeal of both paths, to appreciate how to harness mind in both the conscious and subconscious aspects. To create a new, deeper, more integrated self out of the various parts one juggles in third density. If you can have faith that both maidens have something to teach you, we would suggest, my friends, that this may allow this liminal state to be slightly less fraught than it might otherwise feel. And it is in these feelings, coupled with the mental stakes, the energetic and polarized stakes that are involved, that the true import of transformation makes itself apparent. For you must understand that your transformation is but one moment, one moving picture in the Creator's mind. Transformations happen to all other selves as well. And it is in the compassionate treatment of the struggling self, as the instrument known as Jade helped us to explain, that you learn how to begin, and we stress begin, to think about a transformation of a planetary mind, of a larger mind that will become available in shorter order than your self-conception as it now is constituted cares to consider. Remember, the identity of the self that transforms thusly is one aspect, and rather in this scenario, more like a vehicle than the driver. You surrender to the driver, but that does not make you any less of a vehicle. It merely provides the opportunity for the tune-up, for the upgrade. And we ought to suggest as well the downgrade, the momentary fallback position. This archetype has much involved in it, for when you truly make commitments that draw boundaries around the self you perform in third density, perform to your other selves, you are, verily we say, demonstrating to all other selves who pay attention their true freedom. It is in transformation that you are truly free, that your true will is certified, and your power is laid bare before you. Powerful entities also need care. If there is one thing we would stress, it would be to be compassionate as the self struggles in this way, usually only recognized after the fact, and to draw upon that experience, no matter which path you choose, to seat this learning securely in the foundations of mind. That is the way you will make the resource of yourself available to other selves. And that is the way the transformation of mind will become a sacrament, that you will not be alone in partaking of. And my friends, as
we correct this instrument. However lonely the transformation feels, however isolating it seems, you are part of a great stream of soul and spirit. And the mind is merely the place where you can get closest to it from time to time. And if you can draw near to spirit, in spite of your choices, in spite of your fear of mistaken choice, you can shed light on others' true selves and help them release the angst that transformation often entails. It is worth pointing out, we feel, that this image on this card is not nearly as dramatic as the transformation of spirit or the transformation of body. We would request that you ponder this. What is it about mind that sets it apart? We are those of Kuo. We thank this instrument for playing along with us and wish to transfer to the instrument known as Jade. I am Kuo.
I am Kuo, and I am again with this instrument. We will conclude with one more facet of this transformation of the mind. And we believe there is a key here that causes problems for your peoples. For you have a tendency to orient towards that which brings pleasure and to flee from that which brings suffering. And we tell you, as the brothers and sisters of sorrow, that the path of the gentle courting will only be more sorrowful. For as you seek to reunite with the creatures you exist with in this third density, you will find, as you peel back the curtain on these seemingly separate selves, that there is an underlying thread of suffering. A suffering that is at the core of many who are incarnate now. A suffering that has defined that incarnation. And so, we ask you to remember that. While more suffering may seem an undesired consequence, it is the path of separation that seeks to avoid all suffering. Part of your mind that automatically, instinctually flees from suffering is the part that must be relinquished. For when you can turn back towards that which repulses you, this is the moment. This is the magic of the transformation. You have brought that part of yourself back within the heart after it has been pushed so far away. And we tell you, in the faces of all the maidens you may court through your experience, powerful transformation awaits when you can look on the face of suffering with love and compassion. And the desire to heal. There is much in the transformation that when one begins the path is forced, is there is a requirement of a bit of pushing against that which feels natural, the natural desire to flee from suffering. But the more you choose to welcome and love the injured parts of the other selves about you, you will find that the pieces that have been fractured begin to pull themselves back together into a new, more vibrant whole. We are those of Quo, and we feel we have said many words on this subject, and we feel we have many more words to say, and we are grateful to know another opportunity will be there in the near future. So we will take our leave of this instrument in this group. We thank you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, we are Kuo and Nai. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people.